All right, councillors, good morning. We might just declare the meeting open at 9:32. And I'd like to start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet. And I would also like to pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians who may be present here this morning. Just a quick reminder in regards to our standing orders and public conduct at meetings. All members of the public present at a meeting must, not without the prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs. Remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. Not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present. Be suitably dressed. Turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. And as chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements and may, with or without such warning, require the person to leave the meeting and not return for a period such as the chairperson decides. And this period may actually include future meetings. Leave of absence. I do require a leave of absence to be granted for Councillor Wendy Boglari, who's attending a local government LGAQ project management, I believe, training course. So could I have a mover and seconder? Moved Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously, and Councillor Elliott isn't here at this point. And with that, Councillors, I've not been... And Councillor Hewlett's also not here. Thank you. Devotional segment. This morning I'm going to ask Ken Myhill, who heads up Scripture Union, to present to us and lead us in a brief devotional segment. Over to you, Ken.
Okay. That's better. So thank you for the opportunity to come and share with you, as I have done once in the past. And my role is with Scripture Union, but it's also as the chair of the local church fellowship as well, the minister's fellowship. So I bring greetings from Scripture Union and chaplaincy, and I bring greetings from the local churches collectively for Redland City. We thank the council for their support in all those areas. I wanted to just reflect with you that there's a book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes, and written by or about a guy who was very wise. And his comments made throughout that book is that there's a time for everything. There's a season when we need to work hard and a season when we need to rest, and a season when we need to be gathering in and a season when we need to be sowing and reaping. And he goes through a whole different set of those things. A season for death and a season for life. And so on, he goes through all these different aspects of what there is a season for. And if you reflect over your life, you see that. And if you reflect over your council life, you see that there's a season for one thing when we really have to be focused on one particular aspect. But there comes a season when you don't have to do that sowing. You're now doing some reaping from the efforts. And sometimes the sowing seems to go for a long time and the reaping seems to go for a short time. But there is a season for those sorts of things. I encourage you as you go through the work that you do in representing the people that you represent and the times that you spend in meetings, which I'm assuming sometimes can be just extended because we all go into meetings and think this is a long meeting. Understand that there is a season for everything, and the season that you're in now may not be the season that shows a lot of fruit, but it's worth it because there is a time coming when you will have that reaping because you've spent a lot of time sowing, you've spent a lot of time preparing. You spend a lot of time doing that groundwork that's needed to enable the reaping. And if you observe anybody who's in an agricultural area, you will note that the most work is done in the sowing and the preparation. The shortest time is in the reaping. But without that sowing and preparation, there can be no reaping. And there needs to be a season for both, a season when you're doing all that preparation, a season when you're doing all that sowing, and then a season when you can look and go, wow, these things have come to fruition. So much has happened. And we just had a small time to talk about the prayer breakfast that we had just recently, and a lot of work was done over many months for a short couple of hours in a breakfast program. and yet the reaping from that is going to bring some great benefit and support to the local chaplains in this Redland city. And it's not just about the individual chaplains, but multiple programs supporting young people will continue. Some will be started because they now have funding to do that. So I thank you for that, but I want to bring you that word of encouragement that in those times when you're not seeing many results, not seeing much reaping, that maybe this is a time when you're doing the preparation. Maybe this is the time when you're doing that sowing, and the reaping will come. I'd like to be able to pray for you. It's something with my Christian faith that I believe in. So if that's okay, I'll pray for you guys, and then I'll be finished. Our God, I want to thank you for these men and women who you've placed in this position here. And I pray that you would give them encouragement today for the work that they do. Many times it's hard, many times it's long hours, many times it must seem like there is no fruit to come. But I pray that you would remind them of all the work that needs to be done in that preparation time in order to have that reaping time at the end. And I pray that you would bless them with seeing and being involved in that reaping time as well, so that they can enjoy some of the fruits of their works. And I pray that you would give them an encouragement. Amen.
Thank you, Ken. Now, it's normally tradition for us to stand as the minister leaves, but in this instance I'm going to ask Ken if you would stay and perhaps invite Neil Collier to come forward, because our next part of the agenda is a recognition of achievement. And of course, Ken has just mentioned the Merrill Prayer Breakfast, and we'd like to officially present the Scripture Union with a check today, both a small check and a big check, I think. There we go. I'll get the right one. I'm talking just about the size of the check, not the amount. They're both exactly the same. I think it's really important to note that, this has been, I think, the 13th Merrill Prayer Breakfast we've had, and it's only ever grown in number and popularity, and so have the issues for our young people. In this particular instance, this check reads that we will be presenting to Scripture Union, and thereby our chaplains, a figure of $15,662.24. In fact, it is actually over $16,000 because there was a donation made directly to the Scripture Union. So this probably is the largest cheque we've presented thus far. And one of the people that was just with us a couple of minutes ago was talking about the impacts that not that just the children have as a result in our city of this, but the impacts it makes on adults. And he talked about a young girl who had witnessed her father commit suicide, and it was only for Neil Collier, in fact, that young person found their way back on track. And I think that just demonstrates one small example of why we continue to raise money for Scripture Union. So thank you, Neil, and thank you to the Minister's Fellowship and Ken for supporting the Merrill Prayer Breakfast, and let's hope there's many more years of that to come. And with that, I will present this cheque to you both. Community Carols, yes. through the Mount Cotton Community Church. So community fellowship. So I think, Julie, a couple of councillors actually have contributed to this to make this possible. There was Julie, Kim, Alan and Paul, I believe. So if you'd like to join me and present this check, I'm more than happy.
Is that okay? Can we take a photo?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
So how are we going
to... Do you want the big check or the little check?
Do the big check.
You can have both, yeah. Actually. Yeah. Sorry, don't take the
phone. Just step forward and get a couple. Get Alan on.
Alan.
Hey, you want to balance it up?
Yeah, it's more balance. I like balance.
You're a director now. Who are we looking at?
Yeah. You just put your fingers on the screen.
No, I need to get Wally.
Oh.
Yeah, what? I've got a wide angle camera.
Am I the way?
No.
Don't go away.
Okay.
Did Alan get it?
Okay.
You got it on?
Got it?
Yep. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Really appreciate it.
And then if we can
that,
keep
yeah.
Neil and Karen here for 1 second.
You're not greedy.
No.
Sorry.
This is a little grant check. This is for the Seaford.
Livewise Kids
Club, because Neil through the church does a huge amount of work with youth and with the kids in Mount Cotton, and this is to help so that they have a little bit more equipment to work with.
Here we go.
Thank you.
We'll just do a quick
small.
Thank you.
It's going to make a big difference, really.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
There is one more presentation. Sorry, folks.
Don't sit down.
Oh.
It could be. Ladies and gentlemen, just one more. This is a presentation to the Bay Island Chambers of Commerce, to Cole McInnes, who's in the... Would you like to come forward, Cole? This is... a small councillor's grant that's contributing to the project for the Southern Moreton Bay Islands tourism, which we know is a growing and maturing industry over there, and happy to help. And I think Councillor Edwards and Tolte have helped contribute to some artwork, display cabinets and brochures to promote tourism on the islands. Thank you, councillors. All right, moving on with the agenda. Item 5 is receipt and confirmation of minutes of the general meeting of the 23rd of September 2015. Can I have a mover and seconder that those minutes be confirmed? Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Hardman. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 6, matters outstanding from minutes of a previous general meeting. I'll ask the Chief Executive Officer to present.
I'll get it right. You got that? Madam Mayor, there's no updates. The koala outstanding, the only outstanding matter is the koala mapping, and that's on the agenda listed at 11.2.2. Which ones have I pushed wrong? Supposed to be blue.
Yes,
right,
deeply. Item 7 on the agenda is public participation. I haven't been advised of any, formally of any speakers. I'll just check with the gallery if there's anyone that wishes to address council. Oh, there being none, we'll move on to the next item in the agenda, which is petitions and presentations. And I haven't been advised, councillors, nothing's changed since yesterday. Okay, no other presentations. I'll move on to order of business. Is there a motion to alter the order of business, councillors? There's not, so we'll move on to 10, which is material personal interests and conflict of interest. And you reminded councillors of your responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to a councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting. And a summary of those responsibilities is in your agenda. Okay, on to 11.1, the business of the meeting. I'll ask Councillor Edwards to present 11.1.1, Long-Term Asset Management Plan. Thank you, Councillor Edwards.
Thank you. Item 11.1.1, Long-Term Asset Management Plan 2015. I move the Officer's recommendation to adopt the attached Long-Term Asset Management Plan 2015.
Move, Councillor Edwards. Seconded, Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Yes, thanks. The Long-Term Asset Management Plan has been developed to incorporate all of Council's individual assets and service management plans. It provides a snapshot of Council's current performance in terms of its asset management practices and also provides direction for improvement of these practices through a high-level framework. Council is moving towards an advanced level of maturity and improved asset sustainability. While there has been considerable improvement in Council's overall asset management practice, especially in recent times, emphasis has historically been in raising awareness and ensuring legislative compliance. Improvements in efficiency, cost management and service delivery can be realised if we continue along the asset management maturity continuum and truly understand what we want to deliver, the best way to deliver it, and the cost drivers we need to manage along the way.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Any speakers against? Any comments or questions, councillors? There being none, then, Councillor Edwards, nothing else to add. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. 11.1.2, Councillor Edwards.
11.1.2, report of the Audit Committee meeting. I move the officer's recommendation to accept the report.
Move, Councillor Edwards. Seconded, Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor?
It's a very short report, so I've got nothing to contribute.
Councillors, any questions, comments? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.1, I'll ask Councillor Beard to present.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Item 11.2.1, I move the Officer's recommendation.
Move, Councillor Beard. Seconded, Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Beard?
Very briefly, Madam Mayor, the Local Government Act requires Council to publish its meeting dates and times for the 12 months following. This publication will also be displayed in the Service Centre and on Council's website, so the attachment contains the meeting dates and times for our general meetings for the next 12 months. Being aware, of course, that a new council elected after March may want to change them, but at the moment that's the meeting schedule for the next 12 months.
Thank you, Councillor Beard. Any speakers against? Councillor Elliott.
Thank you, Mayor. This is my usual chestnut every year. I think we could start at 9 o'clock on general meeting days. We have workshops on 8:30 on Tuesdays and workshops at 9 o'clock, and most of us can turn up for those. So I'd think half the day's over when we get started. That 9 o'clock, it's only half an hour. I'm sure we could all be here by 9 o'clock.
Councillor Elliott, any other speakers for? Councillor Tolte? It's a big issue.
It's huge.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
I've got to come down for the hills.
I don't support Councillor Elliott's view. I think that the time has worked well and it has functioned without any complaints from the public for the last... I guess we've been doing this for 2 years. So unless I see some evidence that there's a reason to change, as Councillor Beard has said in the past, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's fine. Thank you.
Any other speakers, councillors? There being none, I'll hand back to Councillor Beard to sum up.
Not much to say, except, Madam Mayor, that I just feel as though that 9.30 allows people, that members of the community who might want to be here and might need to drop kids at school at 9 o'clock to be here at 9.30 for the start of the meeting. So I'm happy to leave it as it is and happy to recommend the officer recommendation.
Thanks, Councillor Beard. I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour is Councillor Bishop, Gleeson, Beard, Tolte, Edwards, Hewlett, Hardman, Ogilvie. Those against, Williams, pardon me, and those against, Councillor Elliott. Thank you. Councillor Beard, would you like to present 11.2.2? Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Mayor. Yesterday we got an email from Lynn Roberts, a well-known expert around the place on environmental matters, and I'd sent an email to councillors as early as I could on moving a deferral for just a fortnight. It won't affect our public consultation times on the local laws, and that council consider deferral while we can just get some mapping together on the area that Lynn had outlined, and I don't think that would be a big ask from council at this time.
So, Council, according to our standing orders, a procedural motion would be to allow the matter to lie on the table.
Yep.
Is that what you're moving?
I'm happy to do that, if Council.
So that's a procedural motion that doesn't require a seconder, Council. You heard that. Do you require any further information from Councillor Elliott on this? Councillor Beard?
I've got no problem with it, Madam Mayor, but could that not be done during the consultation period? This motion only commits Council to going out to consultation, and the extra mapping that is required, or at least the Koala Action Group could make a submission to the local law and could be considered the same as every other submission at the end of the consultation period. I'm just wondering why we need to delay it for 2 weeks. Surely a submission could be made during that period.
Councillor Elliott, would you be happy to... Well, I mean, we have a procedural motion on the floor, so I'll allow you to respond before we take the vote.
Just with that, Mayor, to Councillor Beard, the problem you have then, it comes back, yes, you put it in, it'll have to be consulted on again, and this is just mopping up. It's one little thing's coming, look, it's late for everybody, I knew nothing about it till it hit the inbox, and I think if we do it now, it's a simple amendment, it doesn't hold anything up. The decision will be still made in a fortnight to put the rest out. The consultation period starts 1 week later. It's just the mapping we have to put in place, and I sent a copy of the Nick Clark's email to digest. But it'll just delay it till a next round, and then we have to go again. The cost is one-off cost, and it's just the mapping. That's it.
Councillors, we have a procedural motion on the table, so I'll put that procedural motion that the motion lie on the table, or the recommendation. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously.
Thank you, councillors.
Moving on to 11.3.1, Councillor Tolte.
I call councillors' attention to item 11.3.1, which are decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development application, and ask that these be noted.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's in the report.
No other questions, councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against, the motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.3.2, Councillor Tolte, appeals list.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call councillors' attention to item 11.3.2. The appeals list is current at the 21st of September 2015 and asks that this be noted.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, Madam Mayor. The councillors have all had opportunity to ask questions of our legal counsel, and it's in the report.
Any other questions, councillors, or comments? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11 point... I must have an old
money sheet.
No. 11.4.1 it is, councillors. Redlands Water annual... Water Quality Annual Report being presented by Councillor Gleeson. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.4.1, which is the Redland Water Annual Report for 2014/15.
Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Beard. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Very, very briefly, Madam Mayor. Just it's a good, healthy report. Gives Redland Water a good tick of health. So it's all in the report there.
Any other questions, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 11.4.2, Councillor Gleeson, Sole Suppliers Infrastructure and Operations.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.4.2, which is to do with Sole Suppliers for Operations and Infrastructure.
Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
No, it's just an operational matter, Madam Mayor, that we go through every year.
Any other speakers, councillors, or comments, questions? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.4.3, Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.4.3, water main extensions, request from residents.
Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. It's just internal wording, really. It's just a policy that's pretty much obsolete now. It's not required within the council framework.
Any questions or comments, councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. 11.4.4, Councillor Gleeson, road naming.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move 11.4.4, which is road renaming for Sermon Street at Birkdale.
Moved Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Beard. Councillor Gleeson, would you like to speak to it?
Well, just briefly, Madam Mayor. I think the local councillor might also, but it's all a positive. The residents in Sermon Street have been asking for this for quite a while, I believe, so it's just a win-win all the way around.
Councillor Beard, would you like to speak to that as well?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just very briefly, I just want to thank the officers for their work on this. It's been going on for a while or so. Sermon Street in Birkdale is one of those, I guess, few streets in the city that actually has is broken in the middle. And the result of that is that emergency service vehicles and even pizza deliveries and visitors often find themselves at the wrong end of the street and unable to find the other end because it's got broken by a park in the middle. And so I had a request from the residents to address the matter, and after door knocking and speaking to all of the residents, they came to the conclusion that renaming Sermon Street East and Sermon Street West would satisfy their requests. So I'm really pleased to recommend this officer's recommendation and thank the officers for their work.
Thank you, Councillor Beard. Any other speakers or questions, comments, councillors? Councillor Gleeson, do you need to sum up?
No, I'm fine. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
So I'll put the motion then. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 12 is Merrill Minutes, and there's no Merrill Minute, nor is there a notice of motion to repeal or amend, or any notice of motion this morning, councillors. I haven't been advised of any urgent business without notice. There is an item in closed session, and I don't believe that councillors actually want to move into closed session for this particular item. So therefore, if councillors are happy for the a mover and seconder for this motion, which is item 16.1.1, I might ask Councillor Beard if you could actually move the motion. Thank you.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, caught me off guard. Item 16.1.1, the Redland Investment Corporation, the quarterly report. The officer's recommendation is that the report be noted, and I'm happy to move that.
Move Councillor Beard, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Beard?
Not much to say, Madam Mayor. It reports on the activities of the Redland Investment Corporation over the last few months. As we discussed yesterday, the report indicates that quite a number of properties have been moved into the Redland Investment Corporation. There's still quite a number to move
just
over.
Just one. Just one.
Sorry?
Just one, Councillor.
Just one. But there's still a number to go. And so it's all in the report, and I'm sure that the community will be interested to read it.
Thank you. Councillor Elliott, comment?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. I think
it's good this is out there in the public. I think, obviously the office has put it for confidential, but I think it's a good idea to be out there. I think there's a bit of word running around. We've had the secret meeting and compiled this list. Well, and when you do these things, you know, confidentiality has to be there before we can put it on display. And I think council, to its credit, we've put it in the planning scheme. Those blocks that may be surplus, maybe not. It's up to the public to make comment. You've got to the 27th of November to make comment on those blocks. And I think where we can do joint developments on certain blocks, and then the previous council, I think it was in the McMillan Road blocks we've had there, we purchased those, so we could do a development. And it's in writing as far as that goes. So I'm not afraid of the outcome, but I certainly want the public to be aware of it and get out there and make comment.
Thank you. Are you speaking against Councillor? I'll just comment. Councillor Ogilvie?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm glad Councillor Elliott has raised it. There is considerable discussion, apprehension in the community, speculation even, about what the activities of the Redlands Investment Corporation may be, what the intentions are for a number of blocks that have been rezoned in the planning scheme might be. And that's only natural when there isn't a lot of transparency around what the activities of a business unit of this are. So I think we need to do a lot more, frankly, in that space of being transparent about what the intentions of this company are. I have personally have no and voted for the establishment of this company. I personally have some disagreement about some of the intentions for some of the blocks that I know of, but I can't discuss openly. But I think those are discussions that belong in the community and not just in this room amongst ourselves. Some of those blocks, for example, are of strategic importance and deserve community input. The block that we've just sold, for example, I'm not aware of any community consultation that was done on that Birkdale Road block. And yet...
Excuse me, Birkdale Road
block? Sorry, Birkdale Road. Old Capalabar Road? Old Cleveland Road? I've just had the flu and my head's still a bit woolly, but I've still got cotton wool head, but I'm not aware of any community consultation. Sorry, CEO.
Well, I think the CEO is going to respond to that, Councillor.
Councillor, look, just to remind the public in that, it is very unfortunate, in my opinion, that confidential documents have been leaked through which were part of discussions. It is very early stages. As we said with Redland Investment Corporation, it's always been transparent. We've got independent directors as well as a couple of councillors. We've had workshops with councillors. We have a statement of corporate intent. We have our corporate reporting here, which is in line with those. We have set up a very transparent process that as each block comes up to be considered, that will be discussed in council and transferred by a resolution of council to the Redland Investment Corporation. Any development, any procedural stuff that needs to get approved will come back through council and will be voted on and can be called in by councillors. So at this stage, there is a lot of speculation, and in my view, and again, I'll declare I'm a director of Redland Investment Corporation as well, through that along with Lynette and the three others that are listed through here, along with Peter Kelly being our CEO, that any of the decisions will be fully transparent, will be fully reported through there. And, you know, the old Capalabar Road site was discussed at length in council through the various processes. We had, if you remember, some discussions around creating a car park, which was part of the resolution. So it is fully disclosed at this stage. And, you know, it is just speculation. There is a lot of information out there which, you know, is not in there. Redlands Investment Corporation has only the one property at this stage, and we're working through those. And as they become, you know, available, council will have full debate. You will have opportunity through the resolutions to go to community consultation or whatever you please to do. So at this stage, you know, there is full transparency, and this report is through there. So just need to correct that.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Part of your comments addressed where I was going and some of the things that I was actually going to say. But I think what the community is nervous about is that there is perhaps even a secret list that is sitting behind the walls of this building that they don't know about, and they think, And Madam Chair, you shake your head, but we all know that we've sat here and discussed a list of properties and some of them have been given a nod.
Thank you, Councillor. Let me just say that through the open space strategy, which you moved and seconded, we discussed the reality of actually doing that. That's not something that was secret. It was adopted through the open space strategy, and I'll refer to the various documents that have led that discussion. Thank you. You can continue.
Yeah, thanks for letting me continue to speak. We all know that there is a list of properties that there's a nod and a wink on that we have agreed that somewhere along the line will be coming to the...
Councillors,
you can all...
Objection, Madam Mayor. I'm not aware of nod and a wink having been mentioned anywhere in any meeting I've ever been present at, and I am not aware of a list that is called the nod and the wink list. So unless something's been kept secret from me, I think that the council is well out of order.
Okay.
So, Councillor, I think you might want to think about your language and how you're describing the processes the council go through to come to this point.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You can characterise it however you like. We know that there was a workshop. The community knows that there was a workshop. And we know that various properties have been discussed. And we know that at some point in time, some kind of resolutions on those properties have been made. Now, the community doesn't know what those resolutions are, but they deserve to know what they are. We know that in our financial plan, our 10-year financial strategy, we have factored in income. $2 million in year two, I think it's about $4 million in year three. Those figures come from somewhere, and if the community's smart enough, they'll look at those figures and say, well, where are you getting those figures from? What lands are you selling? What lands are you redeveloping, and how are you going to do it? Now,
so, Councillor, now you can come back to the report in front of you. You've had your opportunity to further perpetuate the myth, so I'm now asking you to come back to the document, which is about adopting or noting, my apologies, the quarterly financial report and publishing that report. So if you please come back to the item in front of you, according to standing orders, you may continue.
Okay, well, the point I'm going to make then is that report gives absolutely no transparency or indication of what the future activities of this investment corporation are going to be. And we know that there are some understood behind the four walls of this building. So why aren't they revealed, as they should be, to a community who deserves the information?
I'll have the CEO respond to that, because I think that is probably misleading the processes that we've gone through. Thank you, Councillor. And that'll be your last warning on misleading the meeting on the processes that this council has been going through as a result of number of resolutions of this council to which you've been party.
So again, councillors, if I could just outline the process as the thing, you know, and I'll just reiterate, under the Act, my role as CEO is to have an efficient and effective operation of the organisation. You as councillors set the policy and the direction. We had a very robust discussion amongst the councillors. If you remember, we brought in a consultant, a fellow by the name of Adam Francis, who put up a range of opportunities, looked at our land portfolio, which is extensive and costs us around $11 million a year to maintain, which the public has on that. Through there, we asked and debated in a meeting with them around what would be the opportunities, what were the best vehicles. We then had the debate over the Redland Investment Corporation, got a resolution passed to set that up as a wholly owned subsidiary, in which we appointed Phil Hennessy as the director, myself and Lynette as directors, and since then we've had the two additional directors join us. In that time, yes, we have put forward forecasts, which have been very public around those. Do we understand each property that is going to come over? No, we don't. And we've been very transparent with that. There is a whole range of issues that we have to go through. The board has to do its due diligence on whether it accepts those properties as well and what is the marketable return. But as in any budget or planning scenario, you plan for what you think is achievable and attainable, and we put those financial strategy up to this council, which then voted on that, and there will be another opportunity in February in which Lynette, myself, and if need be, Phil Hennessy will come along and update you on the forecasts that we see, because the market changes quite dramatically. And remember that the whole activity of Redland Investment Corporation is not just around land sales and development. It is one of the many things that we're looking through. It is a vehicle that the council can use to actually further economic development, further community benefits, and a whole range of opportunities in that. So that's the process at this stage, and as I said earlier, it is unfortunate that confidential documents were leaked, whether you say it's from transparency or whatever, but until those decisions are made, which will be debated here in the chambers and will be decided upon by you as councillors, and if you choose to go out to a community consultation, as we have done, I think we decided on a range of properties, the number escapes me at the moment, to put those in the city plan, and that is rightly generating debate amongst the community for you to make your decisions. So I don't reconcile from the transparency that we've had on this process. It's been extremely transparent. Each of you have been involved. This is part of our commitment that we've done to put the quarterly report up to you, and you're seeing that with one property. And at this stage, Redland Investment Corporation has no other properties, and when they are and come across, they will be debated fully here.
Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think this raises, as the CEO has rightly said, it raises the very moment where the community gets access to the information that we've had behind, you know, the confidentiality arena of closed doors. No? Just seeing you shaking your head.
Well, we council owns a couple of hundred hectares of land.
Yeah, I know, and that's
interesting. That publicly owned land was put on a list, as we would to review the assets of the organisation. So you can call that confidential, but I think most people know where the public land is in the city.
I know, but we're now speaking about the Redlands Investment Corporation, which for the first time we're speaking about.
No, you were talking about the list, councillor.
I was speaking about the fact that this is now available. Okay, right. So now I know why you're shaking your head. So this is the opportunity that we have to first speak about to the community and allow them to express interest in where this organisation, as the Redlands Investment Corporation, with its vision, which is the Redlands Investment Corporation, will be an innovative, responsible and sustainable company that achieves its business objectives and creates financial value to council and the Redlands community. So financial value is great, but I think the interest from the community should be there, because our Redlands 2030 community plan speaks more around the social, the environmental and cultural values that we need to be custodians for. So they are right to ask questions and to state their interest, and certainly as a local councillor in my division, I'm doing what I can to raise awareness about the letting people know too that they can make their submissions through the open process, and that's what a good thing about democracy is. We do have that statutory time frame, and until the 27th of November, people have the opportunity to express their views on the way that they want their parks or environmental spaces or the land holding, that otherwise councillors will make those decisions. And so if the community is interested and wants to send a signal about their views directly regards to each of the specific properties as that are mentioned at this stage, and send a signal to council about where revenue comes from, financial revenue, at a time when other revenue options may have been chosen to not be proceeded with. This is the sort of stuff that happens. So thank you very much. Just want to make that thanks very much to Councillor Elliott for raising it and letting community know that now is the time to express your views on these various properties.
I was trying to cover everybody there. Yeah,
thanks. The CEO would like to respond to some of your comments.
Councillors, again, I would just like to draw your attention to the process that we have gone through, and there is a constitution which you all approved for Redland Investment Corporation. There is a statement of corporate intent. All that has been approved, and that is what the company operates within. So it is different as a company which is wholly owned by the council. It is not the same as a council business unit. It is a separate company, has a board of directors, has a chairman, which you've approved through there to operate under the constitution that has been given and within the Corporation Act. So it is slightly different, and I would refer you back again to read through those and understand those documents which were fully transparent, have been fully published and are available, I think, on the ASIC website under the company as well. So, and if you should need those, again, to do that. So it is a slightly different operation which was fully explained. It's not a council division in that sense.
Councillor Gleeson.
Point of clarity, I didn't vote to support that.
A council decision is a council decision, despite your position on it.
Councillor Gleeson, you have said the floor. We all supported that.
Thank you. Councillor Bishop, a council decision is a council decision.
The CEO just said that I didn't
Councillor Bishop, you haven't got the floor. Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I think this shows it supports the fact there's been a lot of scaremongering about this out in the community by a few. The end of the day, we haven't agreed to sell anything except that one block of land in Capalaba, and because Councillor Ogilvie's mentioned, I'm going to come back to that very shortly. But these are parcels of land that we've decided to include in the city plan in our public consultation. There's a hell of a lot. It's just an absolute beat up what's going on in the last couple of weeks over this. It's in there. It's in the forms. It's all the councillors have been given. They've been listed. They're out of there at all the libraries and the community consultation processes. There is nothing being hidden here. It's an opportunity for the residents to have a say, to give them an opportunity to let us know whether they agree with if the land is sold, if it's developed, if it's kept as parks, if it's for whatever purpose it's got. It's just an absolute beat up by a select few that's just created this scaremongering campaign throughout the city. Now, when it comes to selling council land, in the last council term, I recall a commercial parcel on Dollery Road getting sold. I don't know what the process was. That was before my time. But what happened? Did that go out to community consultation? Did that go into an investment corporation? Did it just go into general revenue that just got wasted? What happened to it? Now, the one parcel of land that Councillor Ogilvie mentioned that has been sold...
Point of order. Councillor Gleeson suggesting the previous council wasted money from the sale of that building. You were there for that.
I'm not sure that's a point of order, but I'll just get you to stick to... Councillor. I'll just get you to stick to the facts, please, Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. As Councillor Ogilvie mentioned, we have sold one parcel of land. It's actually on Old Cleveland Road at Capalaba. The adjoining neighbour purchased that block for above market value. It was a pretty good result. And, yeah, look, I agreed to offload that parcel of land. It's one of the ugliest strips of road or car park in the city, and hopefully we've got an opportunity to do something with it. It's part of the Capalaba Master Plan that was drawn down in 2010, and for the same purpose as Council sold the land in Dollery Road, it's to hopefully get some commercial investors in there and actually do something with it. Now, I'm not sure about the confidentiality of some of the funds in the land, but the CEO mentioned it. You know, there's an allocation of some of the sale that's going to provide boulevard parking along a new road in behind there in the lane. And there's negotiations going on at the moment to provide the football club with a car park. They've been operating there 30 years with no car park. There are community benefits and for the sale of that block of land, and that's why I agreed to it. It's not just about scaremongering. There's actual benefits that we could see by investigating these options.
Councillor Tolte, comment?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I thank the officers for bringing forward their quarterly financial report. I have absolute confidence in the members of the corporation and the board. They're all outstanding people and their resumes speak for themselves. As Councillor Gleeson has just said, there's one case there where a block of land's come forward and as a result of considered debate, community benefit will come out of it, and that will be the case for any and all decisions that are made as we move forward. And I'm sorry for those people that operate in a world of innuendo and conspiracy theory, but I don't. I operate in the real world, and if my community have got questions, I'll answer them to the best of my ability. And there is nothing untoward here. It is all out in the open. It is all there for people to see. Any decisions that are taken then come forward for the community. And, you know, those people who want to operate with Chinese whispers, I'm not going to play the game. Thank you.
No, Councillor, no further comments from you. You've had your opportunity to speak. I'm taking comments. Are there any other comments, councillors? Because I am actually going to refer to some of the documents that have led to the setup of the Redlands Investment Corporation that have been fully debated. I am going to draw your attention to page 9 of the Open Space Strategy, which is one of the documents that actually asked officers to go away and establish a list of land that was potentially surplus to council's use and not being used for the use it perhaps was firstly purchased for or acquired for. On page 9 of the Open Space Strategy. Point 11 will say, will tell you that councillors has agreed to investigate potential open space areas for alternative council or community use or disposal. It says to develop a list of parkland that has the potential for alternate uses or disposal, undertake a full analysis using assessment criteria adopted in this strategy prior to the making disposal recommendations. That resolution of council back on the 19th of December 2012 was moved by Councillor Ogilvie and it was seconded by Councillor Bishop and it was carried unanimously. Let me go back to also, and I'd like to propose a slight amendment to the motion, councillors, so that we can make sure that the community is absolutely 100% sure and clear on what has been adopted and gone through a rigorous process with this council, and that's the statement of corporate intent by Rick. So as I'm doing that, if I could maybe ask Joyce if you could add a point three as an amendment, to publish the statement of corporate, the Redlands Investment Corporation statement of corporate intent, which takes me back to that particular document. And it was interesting that Councillor Bishop referred to just one part of the vision of the organisation that's been led up by professional directors, by the way, who perhaps and well, actually, not perhaps, they actually have to abide by very, very strong legislation as directors of a corporate entity, probably more than most of the people around this room, frankly. So I have great faith in their ability to do that. But in the introduction in the document that will now be made, which we have made available to you, and in the statement of corporate intent, let me read out the mission of this organisation, because Councillor Bishop has neglected to go down to what I think is what the sort of thing that Councillor Bishop aspires to most times when in debate in this particular chamber. It talks about growing the economy through facilitating development and business opportunities and supporting local jobs. It talks about lead the Redlands development industry by delivering high-quality, exemplary projects that take into account the environment, community and best practice industry principles, something we cannot as a local government actually require developers in our community to do because of the state legislation, but we can set some benchmarks as our own investment corporation. It also talks about negotiate nominated commercial negotiations on behalf of council and provide a better financial return for the Redlands community. It also talks about building profitable, successful projects and respected relationships with business groups and the community. Most importantly, in this discussion, which wasn't leaked with a document of pieces of land that was led by a decision of council through the Open Space Strategy and other documents, which I'll refer to shortly, it says, contribute a positive legacy for future generations of the community considering preservation of the natural environment and humanistic needs. It was talking about making sure our balance sheet reflects the needs of the community today and, more importantly, tomorrow. And in the instance of the one block of land that was sold and which was a public discussion in this chamber, it was made very clear that that proceeds of that land would go to facilitating a car park that hadn't been there, poorly developed, in my opinion, by councils a long time ago, to make sure there was community benefit from that, because a community benefit and a vacant piece of land that was basically falling apart and costing a lot of maintenance was not being valued by the community and not delivering what I think is a great return for our community's investment in that area. So not only does the Open Space Strategy refer to the Redlands, to the opportunities through the Redlands Investment Corporation, but let me talk about the other documents that some of you have been intimately involved with over a period of time. Let's start with the Redlands 2030 Community Plan, Vision 6, Goal 4, page 42. Redeveloped commercial centres, new office space and commercial buildings, especially those located in activity centres of Cleveland, Victoria Point and Capalabar, provide opportunities for expanded retail, entertainment, hospitality and professional business services. This is the Redlands 2030 Community Plan. That's driven Redlands Investment Corporation's statement of corporate intent. Not only that, we have the Redlands City Council Corporate Plan, 6.4, page 12. Council receives a return on the community's investment in land to enhance economic and community outcomes. 6.6, page 12. Development will be facilitated specifically in the Toondah Harbour Priority Development Areas and Wynnum Creek Priority Development Areas with a focus on economic growth. It also refers to the Redlands City Economic Development Framework to create a vibrant economic, inclusive economy with a destination for choice for businesses, workers, residents and tourists because of its proactive, innovative and creative approach to business development and expansion. We want to enhance our economic capacity. That means creating jobs in our local community so we don't have traffic congestion every day going into Brisbane, by the way. We want to enhance our economic capacity by also making an attractive place to do business, attracting and retaining local, national and international investment. So, councillors, in one way or another, everyone's had some great input through various documents into the formation of the Redlands Investment Corporation. And what wasn't leaked with the documents in this broad discussion we've had that was driven through that is the fact that we always wanted this to be working towards a type of future fund so that we could put money aside to deliver the needs of our community into the future. Unfortunately, when bits and pieces and skerricks of information are put out there without the whole context, that's a kind of scaremongering that puts your community at unrest. So, councillors, let's be really clear that this discussion hasn't been transparent. Hasn't been behind closed doors. All of those documents that I referred to have been adopted by this council and the previous council and have been moved and seconded by people in this room who are now concerned about where it's heading. And with that, councillors, I'm going to ask you to look at the amendment behind me, and I'm going to ask if someone could move that amendment so that we can be completely transparent. Councillor Tolte is moving the amendment.
Do I have a right of reply?
No, councillor. Happy to put that amendment. So we're just taking a motion on that amendment. Councillor Beard has moved that now. Can Councillor Beard move the amendment? Has to be Julie Tolte then. She had her hand up as well. Councillor Tolte, you'll move that amendment. Seconded to that amendment. Councillor Elliott is going to second that amendment. We'll vote on the amendment. Councillors, are those in favour of the amendment? You might have been scratching your nose.
Yeah.
There we go. So that was unanimous. Thank you. Now we'll go back to the motion and I'll ask Councillor Beard to sum up. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to, although as usual you haven't left much to say, you've presented some valuable information. You know, I said to somebody the other day in response to a comment they made that I thought a secret was something that you didn't tell people about. And I was accused of being a smarty pants, say it nicely. How much more clear could we be? How much more open could we be than to include the parcels of land in the new city plan and very clearly articulate those parcels of land that are under consideration for rezoning? We couldn't be any clearer. I'll tell you what's not a secret. Judith, I hope you're taking note. I'll tell you what's not a secret. Redlands City's 55,000 hectares, 28,000 of those hectares is on North Stradbroke Island. 90% of that is National Park. This council owns 10,000 hectares of the remaining land. 10,000 hectares of the remaining land, which, as the CEO has pointed out, costs us $11 million a year to maintain. How did we acquire that land? We didn't buy it through the Environment Levy. When Murray Elliott and I were first elected, we worked under the Integrated Planning Act, and during that period of time, every development that was done in this city, the developer was required to dedicate 10% of the land to the council or to the state, which then came to us. As a result of all of those developments over many years, councils acquired hundreds of tiny parcels of land all over the place that served no purpose whatsoever, either to the community or to the environment. And they cost us a fortune to maintain. Anybody with half a brain can see that the time is right to rationalise that land, convert some of that useless land that only cost us money to maintain into, as the Mayor said, into a future fund. Land for land is what I've said all along. We need to go out and buy sporting fields. We need to buy all sorts of land for various environmental purposes to complete environmental corridors. And the rationalisation of this land over a period of time will assist us in those investments in the future. This is a no-brainer, and I'm concerned about the constant innuendo of conspiracy theories and secrecy. There's no such thing involved in this, and I recommend the report to council.
Can we release the officer's recommendations on the lands we've considered?
Councillors, we haven't got a recommendation, councillor. With all those when recommendations,
when we considered the land.
I'm going to have the CEO respond.
Councillors, again, we have many workshops, we have many discussions. Many corporations, many councils, many state governments have those discussions. Until it is a resolution, the land resides in council.
Sorry, Councillor Bishop, you know, we've had a sum up. Standing orders doesn't require you to have return debate on every point that's made in the room, I'm afraid. So I'll have the CEO complete and then we will take the vote. Thank you. I don't want to give you a stiff arm with your hand up unnecessarily.
So again, in due course, the land that officers assess will come through. That will be debated in this forum. It will be agreed to transfer it to Redland Investment Corporation. We report back as members of Redland Investment Corporation quarterly. We also have a chairman who is available, Phil Hennessy, to have discussions. And there are further documents which will come out once the board has considered them around public consultation, community consultation. But again, in the workshop that we had with councillors, it was made extremely clear, and as one of the directors, and I know Lynette is nodding down there as well as a fellow director, and I hold the seat of deputy chairman, that we are acutely aware that community consultation is very much important. We have in the draft stages, and again, until they're ratified by the board, it's inappropriate for me to release those, around our communication plans, our stakeholder plans, and all those sort of things. And as we say, I just refer back to the document that's been tabled here today. We are very much about leading those exemplary efforts and those type of things. And whilst we have three extremely talented and commercial people who are widely respected, they are under no illusion, so much so that they probably drive me a little bit to distraction around excessive community consultation is where we want to head. So let me assure you on the public record here today that Redland Investment Corporation will table those documents in due course, and any properties that are transferred through will be done through these chambers as is required and has been explained. And until then, it is premature to say that. Otherwise, you just can blanketly, in my opinion, say that every piece of land that council owns is available for transfer. It is, and that's what it is. But until you have debated that and had those discussions and resolution, it is premature to say that.
Councillors, there's been more thorough debate on this particular issue, considering it is really just for noting. With that, councillors, you have the amended motion which is before you, which I have a mover and seconder for. So with that, I will put the motion. Those in favour, those against. The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. There is no further items on our agenda this morning, so with that I'll close the meeting at 10:34. Thank you.